This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Off Besties. Welcome to another roundup of weird news from across the country, presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This week, we're diving into not one, but two weird animal stories, as well as chemtrails, a scientist dubbed Dr. Frankenstein, a man wreaking havoc with a sword, and how to become a real-life storm chaser. We're going to start and end the show today with our dispatches from the animal kingdom. Up first, in a story that brings to mind the 1995 film Jumanji, monkeys have been spotted in St. Louis, Missouri. Yep, monkeys in St. Louis. Major media outlets, both here in the U.S. and abroad, have been reporting on this surprising news. In a press conference last week, Justin Hauser of the St. Louis Health Department said initial reports suggested four vervet monkeys native to Africa were on the loose on the north end of the city. But the exact number and genders of these rogue monkeys is unknown. As of Tuesday, it was still unclear how the monkeys ended up in Missouri and if someone violated the city's wild animal ordinance to bring them there. A Tuesday Facebook post from the health department sought the public's help and asked people to report sightings of the monkeys. Hauser said fees would be waived for anyone who turns a monkey in, but the public is advised not to approach or touch them. Hauser also said that the search has been difficult in part due to artificial intelligence-created images of these reported monkeys that have been circulating online. Here's the Dave Glover Show out of Odyssey Station KMOX in St. Louis with more on this story.
Was that real? So Rachel sent me a video over the weekend of somebody with one of the monkeys in her car.
I saw that too.
Yeah, you saw that? Was that a real video?
It looked pretty real.
It looked real to me.
Okay, but consider this. Do we really think a little monkey is just going to calmly sit on the floorboards of someone's car like, well, I guess I live with these guys now?
I mean, the monkey did not look happy. The monkey looked quite distressed.
I'm not even 100% convinced that there's a single real monkey out there.
Oh.
I'm going to be real with you guys.
You mean on the photos or on the stories?
Both.
Okay. Like, just overall,
we've only seen doctored photos. Real, and yeah, I mean, how are we supposed to deduce what's real and what's not? We talked to Sean Malone about it on Friday, and he said, you know, he felt comfortable reporting on the story because the police department and I believe the health department put out this call, which I understand. However, I'm not 100% convinced that the police department and the health department could not be duped.
Yeah, they could be as tricked as easily as anybody.
Right.
They're just people.
And that's not trying to say anything bad about those organizations. I'm just saying that's what we have to reckon with now.
Yeah.
With this AI. It's not like it was 10 years ago where it's like, man, you got to be really good at Photoshop to pull something like that off and fool people. Like, now all you have to do is type in a text prompt and there it is. So... until the monkey knocks on my door, I'm not 100% convinced.
Would you rather live in a monkey full or monkey less St. Louis?
Monkey full.
Yeah. I'm going to go less.
I don't want them roaming because I don't want them getting hit by cars and stuff.
I think, okay, I shouldn't say this on the radio.
Go ahead.
I think they'd be pretty funny.
You think it'd be pretty funny?
overrun by monkeys and they're getting flung around.
That was the way I thought he was going. Lover over here.
Look, if we got if we have enough monkeys running around that Kevin's saying they're getting hit by cars. It's a funny visual.
Go throw a mouse or something.
It's a funny visual. Yes, of their.
Throw a mouse to its death.
It's not a cartoon that we're talking about.
It's a funny. It's like literally a cartoon that we're talking about.
Tom and Jerry.
We're talking about a number of monkeys in the running the city that is so massive that they are getting bowled over like bowling pins by every car that's driving through downtown. That's a hilarious visual.
Nobody envisioned that but you. Nobody was envisioning that but you.
You brought up them getting hit by cars.
There could be 10 of them running. I don't want dogs to get hit by cars either. My God. This guy.
Yeah, there's a couple patterns with him.
Yeah.
I think if we had a cartoonishly large number of monkeys, that's the St. Louis I want to live in. Thousands. They're like, you just look outside and they're like birds in the trees. They're just climbing up buildings.
So the seeing the monkeys hit by a car is just a bonus.
It's just part of the comedy. Okay. It's just part of the slapstick.
This is the strangest thing you've ever said.
You said it. I didn't say it.
No, I said I don't want to see it and you think it's hilarious.
So this is coming from another photo, which who's to say if this photo is real? But there was a goat that appeared to be heading northbound on Union Boulevard. This is as of Saturday.
That I
could
buy.
Collar on its neck.
That I could buy. People have goats.
But this is the only... I see this Fox 2 story about it that came out yesterday. This is the only thing I can find about the goat. I did get a push notification about the goat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But no updates yet.
Yeah, they've been awfully quiet about the monkeys.
Man, it's gone. The BBC is reporting on it. The Independent.
But ironically, there's not that much to say.
Right.
It's like, yeah, they're here. Man,
New York Times. New York Times headlines. Monkeys are on the loose in St. Louis.
I got texts over the weekend from my brother and sister-in-law in Los Angeles because Los Angeles News was reporting it.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next story also seems like it could have been out of Jumanji. In the town of Ypsilanti, Michigan, a man had been barricaded inside of a home with a sword for nearly an entire day when WWJ News Radio in Detroit reported live from the scene.
Yeah, good morning, Luke. I'll tell you what, we're into the 21st hour of a standoff here in Ypsilanti, the city of Ypsilanti, on West Cross Street, right close to the Eastern Michigan University. Now, we're not really sure what started this back about noon yesterday, but what we do know is that there is a man who has now barricaded himself in a home, and apparently he has a sword. Doesn't look like he has any shots. Doesn't look like he fired any shots. Police have not fired any shots as well. However, the SWAT team is actually inside the house at this point. We hear from a loudspeaker that they are talking to the man, asking him to come out. It appears that he is in the upstairs of this home in a room because of another window we can see. Looks like police going in and out of the upstairs. So that's where we're at right now. We don't know why this started. One neighbor seemed to speculate that it was over some kind of a neighborhood disturbance, but we have not confirmed that. The police are not talking. They're concentrating on this. And we're also told that the protocol when there's a barricaded situation is to just wait it out. And that's what police are doing. 21 hours now waiting.
That standoff eventually lasted nearly 2 days before the man was arrested. An investigation into the incident was ongoing as of January 6th. Now, for our next story, many experts generally agree that chemtrails aren't real. However, they are at the heart of a popular conspiracy theory. And U.S. Representative Marlene Brady, a Republican from Wyoming, is among its believers, according to a recent report in Rolling Stone. Aircraft does often leave white lines in the sky. Those are known as contrails, and they're basically just water condensation made by exhaust hitting cold air. However, the chemtrails theory continues. In 2024, Tennessee actually became the first state to outlaw, quote, the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of sunlight. This week, Scoot, out of Odyssey Station WWL in New Orleans, got a call from a listener about chemtrails. Here's some of their chat.
To the people of
David,
Louisiana,
when did you first become aware of these streams in the sky being chemtrails and not contrails?
What? I became treated with an infectious disease doctor, and it was actually her that told me about it, and she's a big believer that we should stop the chemtrails, and I didn't know anything about it until she said it.
Well, you know, doctors are not all right about everything. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. But, you know, we've dealt with this on the show before, and the evidence is that they're not chemtrails. And with all due respect to the doctor, I'm glad she was able to help you. But, you know, sometimes doctors can become politically disoriented. They're contrails. It's condensation from the engines of the jets. And I don't think you should be concerned about that. There are too many other things to worry about. And that's something that has...
I want the governor to consider testing so that we have our due diligence.
Well, I'm sure there's I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in our soil, but it's not coming from the chemtrails. You know, the stuff that you see overhead, you have no idea where that's landing. I mean, that could be landing in the ocean. That doesn't just drop down to the earth because of the jet stream.
Those interested in what's going on in the skies do have a chance to make a difference. They can become volunteer weather spotters. We'll have more on that after the break. You're listening to a Weird News Roundup from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. While you were watching those movies, did it make you want to go out there and chase storms too? I think it would be pretty exhilarating, but also a bit scary. If it is your cup of tea, you can actually become an official volunteer weather spotter. Christopher Bannon, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service, joined WWL's Tommy Tucker this week with the details.
Skywarn weather spotter sounds serious. Who can be one, and what exactly do those duties entail if you become one?
Really, pretty much anybody can become a Skywarn spotter. It's geared towards just about everybody, but usually the first people we encourage to take it is anyone who has an interest in public service. So volunteers, but also include police officers, fire personnel, dispatchers, any type of EMS workers, even public utility workers, but concerned citizens as well. Basically, we teach the basics of thunderstorm development, fundamentals of storm structure, how to identify potential severe weather features, and then how to report it. And that's the biggest thing, because what the Skywarn Spotter program is, it's basically our eyes on the ground. We're in the office. We can't see anything. Our radar is, you know, limited to an extent, especially with the curvature of the earth. We start shooting higher up in the thunderstorms as it gets further out. Satellite can only see so much. Once clouds move in, we don't see it. So our best information is the public, getting the information to us, people eyes on the ground and getting that information here.
I don't think people realize that. I know with my job how, you know, people want to know about the traffic with the fog. They want to know about the weather. They want to know about this. We're in a room surrounded by equipment and instruments and this and that and the other thing. You so more than me. But the point I'm making is you need eyes on the ground, right? That's what helps a lot.
Absolutely. I've always been pushing that my entire career, is that the more people that can report to us what they actually see, the better and faster we can get warnings out and keep the public safe.
How do you become involved with this program, Christopher, if you're interested?
if you're interested, you can go to our website, it's weather.gov/LIX and /skywarn, and it's SKYWARN, and you can register for any of our online classes or keep an eye on the schedule when we do have in-person classes.
I have a friend that's an amateur meteorologist. I know she would love to be a part of this, and I think a lot of people would, and I think they could do a lot of good as well. So again, give me that one weather catch-all, that one website catch-all.
That website again is weather.gov/LIX/skywarn.
While the National Weather Service seeks help in the science of storms, a doctor working on the science of reproduction has an approach so controversial that he's been dubbed Dr. Frankenstein, like the mad scientist from Mary Shelley's horror novel. The New York Times reported on the doctor this week and noted that he's not backing away from his work even after spending time in prison. Here's the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City, Missouri, with more on the story.
China's Dr. Frankenstein thinks time is on his side. He, Janku, spent 3 years in prison after creating gene-edited babies. Now he is at work, out of prison, and sees a greater opening for researchers who push the boundaries. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what he did in creating the world's first genetically edited babies was
which is you get what you want.
Well, in the Petri dish, what he was trying to say is, I am trying to create a world where HIV cannot be passed to a child through the mother. I am trying to create a world where in the dish we can eradicate disease. Think sickle cell. Think Down syndrome, you name it, so that we eradicate those things. That's what he claimed he was doing.
The road is paved with good intentions.
The road to hell is.
In 2018, his experiment in editing embryos, produced twin girls and later a third baby from another set of parents, and caused outrage around the world because so little is known about the safety and long-term health effects of altering genes in embryos. It also opened, to Sam's point, what many saw as a Pandora's box on the road toward designer babies or eugenics. He is now back, though, and pushing forward with his research full steam ahead. And they're saying China is at the forefront, further than the U.S., in this type of research.
Well, we'll entertain it, of course, but the argument I'm not going to buy is this is the human race playing God.
We do it with modern medicine every single day.
Bingo.
I mean,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So where do you draw the line?
I don't have a problem with people custom making their babies.
Oh, that is a leap too far. I don't have a problem with saying, let's look at what we've created in this Petri dish. We've been doing IVF for what, 50 years?
Well, probably longer than that.
Okay. But, so we're already doing that, right? I don't have a problem with saying, okay, this is what they do now. There are four embryos and they grade them, Scott, A, B, C, and D. You know, they implant A for the highest success of getting a baby at the end of that journey. We already do that. That's different than fiddling inside the Petri dish to get exactly what you want.
I guess my biggest problem would be the discarding of the ones you don't want. Because these are predictions. These modifications are predictions. They could come true. They might not come true. It's not a guarantee. All they're doing is altering the genome sequencing to a pattern that they think will create such a result. If that is a promise, then at what point can you say, well, I didn't get what I paid for. I'm going to discard the result.
But let me ask you this, Sam. Years from now, and I'm speaking hypothetically, of course, you and Mary Beth get married. Dana and I are way past our childbearing years and rearing years. You and Mary Beth decide we want to start a family.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, physically, it's just not working out. And so you go to IVF. And the doctors tell you in this Petri dish.
There's a baby predisposed to cancer.
In this Petri dish, you're going to get what we believe to be is a boy, brown hair, blue eyes, very healthy. In this Petri dish, it is likely that your child is going to have Down syndrome. In this Petri dish, this child is likely to have childhood cancers. In this Petri dish, number four, this child is likely to be born with horrible deformities.
Yeah. Not viable. We're in some form or fashion already doing that.
Even people, the basis of this conversation is morally reprehensible to me.
I know it.
Really?
But Sam, yes, that is already happening with IVF every single day, millions of times around the world. This Mr. He, and it gets confusing because this sentence says, he said he. His name is he.
Okay.
So I'm going to use a Mr. because even I was confused. Mr. He says he has resumed his gene editing research at a laboratory now in Beijing, focusing on ways to eliminate Alzheimer's, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, or DMD, a hereditary neuromuscular disease. So let's take those three things. Are we okay with eliminating, in a Petri dish, Alzheimer's, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, or a hereditary neuromuscular disease? Most people would say, hell yes, get it out of here.
But your life decisions could make you get those things anyway. So why are we discarding babies? Why are we discarding embryos?
It's not, they wouldn't be discarding, Sam. You could fix it before implantation. And I use fix loosely.
And if you can't fix it...
I don't know, Sam. If you said to me...
I don't know.
You either have a baby that's going to be predisposed to cancer, or you're going to have a baby that's not predisposed to cancer, I would take the baby not predisposed to cancer every single... And I'm not choosing one baby over the other. It's the same baby.
It's interesting that you use Down syndrome, Scott, as the example, because I have a Down syndrome aunt. I grew up surrounded by an entire community of, quite frankly, the happiest people on the planet. Yeah. And the idea of using science to eradicate them because they're different enrages me.
Before we go, I promised you one more animal story. This one is about a man who dealt with an unwanted roommate, a bear. It's out of KNX News in Los Angeles, a station that's reported on multiple weird bear stories in the past. We've actually had them on the Something Offbeat podcast to talk about some of those stories. You can check out our archive on the Odyssey app to listen to those. But for now, here's KNX about this unwanted bear guest.
That 550-pound bear that crawled under a guy's home in Altadena and stayed for more than a month is finally out of there. State wildlife people had tried everything, including a buffet of sardines and peanut butter and all kinds of stuff, air horns, paintball guns. The homeowner, Ken Johnson, told us state officials told them to stand down, and he started to think about suing the Fish and Wildlife Department. But a nonprofit from Lake Tahoe stepped in, offered to help.
Well, they did the same thing that the Fish and Wildlife people did. They used paintball guns, the same ones that humans use in recreational play in paintball fields and stuff. And they just scared him out, shooting next to him and stuff with these little paintballs. It makes a little loud pop. And the bear didn't like that. And he eventually came out to crawl space and went away.
He says he can get in there now, assess the damage the bear caused to his crawl space.
Thank you so much for listening to this roundup of weird news presented by the Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Scoot and Tommy Tucker Shows out of WWL in New Orleans, The Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and KNX News out of Los Angeles. You can listen to and subscribe to these shows and stations, as well as the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.